Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hani and lakum, welcome to today's reading of Juz 28 of the Quran. We come now to the tail end of our reading. We only have two juz left, 29 and 30. Alhamdulillah. And it's sad, but it is always, all praise is always to Allah, Jalla fil ula, in spite of the fact that Ramadan is obviously now at its tail end, as the tail end as it gets. 2 days left, one more night, 29th. For some people, 29th will be tonight. For everybody who's actually following the actual moon, I'm sorry, shots fired. It's going to be tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So let's get started. We're going to be moving a bit quicker through the various surahs and stuff. And the first, right away, this surah, Suratul Mujadala, the surah of dispute, starts with the story of the companion, female companion, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyida Khawla, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who comes to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to complain about her husband. She complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given this ruling on what to do when it comes to dhihar, which is a very specific type of marital event regarding divorce and other such things that we don't have the time and things to get into. Nevertheless, the point is, one of the things we will be mentioning throughout this is very much the context of Medina. All of these surah, I don't want to say all, because I, as we go through, but I'm quite certain the majority of them, if not all, are all Madani surahs. And so this juz is very much a juz of society. It's a juz of community. It's very rare that you find a juz in its entirety follows a very similar theme. This is, I guess, one of those ajza that does that. And so straight away, it's this navigation of divorce. How do you live among people? How do you deal with this thing that is the most detestable of all the halal things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Islam has a mechanism. It recognizes that marriage ideally is very sacred and has to be preserved, but we're not Catholics. We're not Catholics. We don't sit there and literally everything can happen, but the marriage has to stay. No, if at the end of the day, for the well-being of the people and for the well-being really of their religion, the marriage has to go, then the marriage has to go. And so this is conversations about certain marital practices of the Jahiliyyah that the Quran is coming in to rectify. And so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this juz with. After that, there is this discussion in the second ruku of the same surah about this idea of najwa, that having these secret conversations, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ultimately aware of all the secret conversations that take place. The guidance really is that you should be very careful in the conversations you have, that knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present in all of these conversations. And what is that, the conversations that many of these people, like the hypocrites and others, have? وَيْتَنَاجَوْنَ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. That when they discuss among themselves these secret conversations, najwa is like to have whispers, you know, you're just there having a quiet conversation. They talk about sin and enmity to and disobedience to the message of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they have this idea that they won't be taken into account for these things that they speak about. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hasbuhum Jahannam. At the end of the day, the requirement will be the fire of hell. Yaslawnaha, you will really taste its pain, the fire. This is the idea of the, Yaslawnaha talks about this idea that you feel the burning on your skin for bits and masid. What a horrific place to end up. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are conversations evil? No, but when you do them, don't speak about horrible things. Don't speak about undermining the izzah of Islam. Instead, وَتَنَاجُوا بِالْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, speak about righteousness and God consciousness. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who you will all be resurrected to at the end. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about the nature of social conduct, that if you're in a majlis, make space for people, Allah will make space for you. Make space for people, Allah will enter you into the garden, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And so there's this discussion. And then it says that before you meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him questions, when you do this, before doing that, give sadaqah. Again, this is all social conduct. When you read this surah, you have an understanding. It's telling you about how you should live in the world with other human beings, that you should not hurt people's feelings, and then you should not be hurt with your feelings as quickly as other people might be. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites who make these oaths with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. At the end of the day, these are not going to protect you. These are, they take them as shields, but these oaths they make, the lies that they present, these are people by their definition are treacherous and deceptive. Their wealth, because ultimately they are people of just greed. The underlying quality of the hypocrite is his greed. And their children, they will not avail them in the slightest. For them is the fire of hell. They will remain therein forever. And then they make all of these oaths and then all of these things. And right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes with, قَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ الْأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُولِي. Allah, the Magnificent has decreed that I and my prophets will be victorious. Surely Allah is powerful, invincible. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right at the end, that there are people who in an incredible way, their primary loyalty is to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in spite of the fact that their parents and their children and their brothers and all of their clans may be in opposition to Allah and His Prophet. What are these people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have decreed in their hearts faith. We have strengthened them. They will enter gardens where rivers flow. They will remain therein forever. Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Him. They are the party of God. And surely it is the party of God alone that is successful. And so that is the end of Surah Mujadala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people. The Hashr is this idea of the resurrection, that you're taken out for this great gathering of people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana al-Hashr, I am the Hashr. I am the one at whose feet everybody will be gathered on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people, speaking about the Jews. This is a conversation with the Yahud of Medina, who have been removed from their land, who are banished, who will be resurrected at the end. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if it wasn't for the fact that Allah had placed exile upon them, this idea that the Jews are to be in a perpetual state of exile until they have to accept the Messiah. And the Messiah is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is obviously, you can go read, go watch Ali Ata'i, and he'll explain all of this stuff in a very beautiful and very powerful way. But these are people who ultimately are in complete and utter disobedience to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of the fate, the booty that is given to Allah and His Prophet, and how people should deal with this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it belongs to Allah and His Prophet, and for for those who are close, the family members and the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says why, and this is a very interesting point. He says, كَيْلَا يَكُونُ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. So then wealth doesn't just circulate among the rich, among you. The wealth has to dissipate. Does it? Do we believe in like trickle down and things like this? No, not necessarily, but we do believe, and we don't believe in complete redistribution of wealth. But nevertheless, we do accept that wealth cannot be restricted just to the elite. It has to make its way down to help the people. And so then Allah says, whatever the Prophet tells you to do, you must do. And whatever he tells you to abstain from, you must abstain from, and have consciousness of God. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very severe in His judgment and His recompense. And this is a lot of this. You have to go back to the tafsir about some of the internal plots of the Jews and the munafiqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to in these verses. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the muhajirun and the ansar, who are, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the ansar, especially. This is Surah of Medina, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who are completely given to Allah and His Prophet, and all their life is just spent وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ. They just assist Allah and His Prophet. These are the people of truth, and these are people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse is about the muhajirin, and what it's saying is the wealth that we spoke about in the previous verse is for the muhajirin, the poor of the muhajirin. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people who prepared their houses and faith in their hearts, and they have love for those who have made hijrah to them, and they prefer others over themselves, even if they are themselves in tribulation. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad wa ala Ashabi Muhammad wa ala Ansari Muhammad. This is a reference to the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Ansar. I can't do this justice. You have to go read the narration of the final khutbah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives to the Ansar. That if لَوْلَا الْهِجْرَةِ لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. If it wasn't for the hijrah, I would have been from the Ansar. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said about them. That if all the people went down a valley and the Ansar went down a different valley, the Prophet said, I would go with the valley of the Ansar. That they were discontent about some of the way the wealth had been distributed. The Prophet ﷺ said, are you not happy that these people of Mecca, take back the sheep and the booty, and you take back Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said there was not an eye of the Ansar except it was weeping, and their beards were drenched in their tears. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites. They say all of these promises they make to the Yahud, that if you do such and such, then we are going to be with you, and we're going to help you do these things, and we're going to do all of these things. And ultimately, when it comes, they don't help anybody. These are people of immense, these are people of just immense treachery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just solidifying this idea that these people are of immense treachery. They have just fear in their hearts. They just want to run from every single situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the enemies of Islam. لا يقاتلونكم جميعا. They never come to fight you on the battlefield. إلا في قرى محصنة. They're just in these fortified localities or behind walls with their iron domes, and they're pressing buttons and destroying the lives of children and widowing women and killing many noble men of the people of Palestine. بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think that they're all united, but their hearts are all fragmented completely. These are people who will taste the punishment. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And ultimately, these are treacherous people. They'll tell you, we're with you, and as soon as the tide turns, فَقَالَ, they're like the shaitan. إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكَ, I have nothing to do with you. Their end result will be the garden, will be the fire of hell. And then right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solidifies once again His own position as the greatest being ever beyond existence. He is the creator of existence itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, these are famous verses that many people recite, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن, if this Quran was revealed upon a mountain, you would see the mountain crumble in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are examples, you can't even fathom that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no God except He. He knows the seen and the unseen, the merciful, but different types of mercy, the exploding mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the stable mercy that showers, and the mercy for everybody, and the mercy for the believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no God except Him, and He is the King, the exonerated, the one of peace, the one who gives tranquility, the one who overrides and overshadows everything, the invincible, the all-powerful, the only one deserving of any sort of arrogance. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. He is completely exonerated from that which they associate with Him. He is Allah, the creator, the originator, the one, the fashioner. For Him are the most beautiful names. The heavens and the earth and everything therein just makes complete and utter glorification of Him. And He is the invincible, the wise, Jalla fil ula. And these verses obviously many people recite in the prayer. It's a favorite of many of the Qurra. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Mumtahina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about alliances. Okay, so this is the Surah of Alliances. I know this is not Turath, but our noble teacher Sheikh Suhail Hanif has a very nice tafsir of Surah Mumtahina that he did for our course on Islam and politics. I recommend people go and find that if you can, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here speaks about this idea of how your feelings should be in your heart towards people of disbelief, for the people of belief. What is the nature of alliances and how they should be carried out. So let's just quickly fly through this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically the whole idea is you should not ally with the people of disbelief. Your allegiances is to Allah and His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And even if you have any allegiances and relationship with people of disbelief, it is only for the sake of Allah and His Prophet. People think this is hypocritical. This is not, because all that means anything in existence is Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you should be very careful in how you deal with these people. That they ultimately, there are many people that are your enemies, and they will not be able to avail you on the day of judgment. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be distinguishing between everybody. The alliances you make, the loyalties you make, have to be such goodness. What is the example of the great man of alliances and loyalty? Is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِ, when he said to his people, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ, when they said to their people that we are completely exonerated from you. وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and what you worship other than Allah. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, we have disbelieved in you. وَبَدَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ أَبَدًا. And all of this is just an unveiling of hatred and distaste for everything you do until you believe in Allah alone. And then he speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with his father. And then there's other verses that speak about other such things. Then, just moving forward, Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying here, by the way, that you now are not allied with these people. These are evil people. They need to be destroyed. You need to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying maybe there's a chance though. You need to bring them together. You need to bring them to you. It's not an idea that you just push them away. At the moment, you exonerate yourself. You step away from them, but ultimately your hope is they come and join the path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not stopping you from people, that you do not fight these people. They haven't evicted you from your homes. You should be good to them and show justice to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who show justice. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you should still have goodness towards people in spite of the difficulties that many situations present themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very quickly about matters to do with marriage and divorce. There's specific instances we're being referred to. We don't have the time to go into this, and you can look these up in the tafsir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again finishes the surah with a discussion of alliances. And marriage is one of the great alliances. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking in the cases of marriage that you should be very careful who you marry, and women who women marry, and who even men marry, and the alliances you make of marriage, because they have great ramifications for you in this life and the hereafter. After this is another very beautiful surah. The surah Saf, the surah of the row. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah. He speaks about jihad, really. That you, this is the Saf, that you have to be a very resolute, fixed, tarasu, you know, you have to be this powerful row, building, this resolute building, when you fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a discussion very briefly about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his discussion with his people. But one of the most incredible verses is this verse of Surah Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who tells his people that I have come to affirm that which has come before from the Torah, and to give you glad tidings of a prophet to come after me, and his name is Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the signs come, they just say these are all magic and these are liars, and then they intend, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They intend to wipe out the light of Allah with their mouths. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Ultimately, Allah will fulfill His light, in spite of the dislike of the disbelievers. He is the one who has sent His Prophet with guidance and the true religion, so that it can overpower all other religions, in spite of the hatred, even if the polytheists have distaste for this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to give you now a tijara. I'm going to give you a transaction. This will save you from a painful punishment. You believe in Allah. You believe in His Prophet. You do jihad in the path with your wealth and yourselves. This is better for you if only you knew. Allah will forgive all your sins. And then right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam again. O you who believe, be like the helpers of Isa. Be like the Hawariyun, these disciples. When Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said to the disciples, who will be my helpers with God? And they said, Nahnu Ansarullah, we are the helpers of Allah. And a group of the Bani Israel believed and a group didn't believe, and one of them was given victory over the other. And I think everybody knows that it was the believers who were given victory over the disbelievers. Then our next surah, Suratul Jumu'ah, again Madani surah. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with this idea about the nature of prophets, that He has sent a prophet who reads the verses, who guides the people, who cleanses the people, who teaches them the book and the wisdom. They were in complete and utter misguidance before this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have to now accept the prophet, because there are people who have revelation who haven't accepted that revelation truly. They are like the man, they are like the donkey who carries the books. It's just a donkey with books. It doesn't read the books, it doesn't understand the books, it has no capacity. It's completely and utterly useless. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Ahlul Kitab, about the Jews specifically, about if you think that everything is cushy for you and you're all going to go to the Garden of Paradise, then wish for death and they never want death. If people are so, look at the believers, in the face of death, they're ready to go, true believers. But these people, they're very fixated on their faith, but somehow you see that they're very terrified of dying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the death you run from, it will definitely catch you. And then right at the end, there is a discussion on on Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, when the adhan for Jumu'ah is called, then rush to the dhikr of Allah and abandon transactions. Abandon buying and selling. And this is better for you. Once the prayer is done, go back to work and seek the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes just with another discussion about that whatever is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than all of the distractions and all of the transactions, and Allah is the one who gives sustenance. Okay. Next, okay, we're good, we're good for time. I think we're going to finish this and actually do this in half an hour, inshallah. Next is Suratul Munafiqun. This is a very another, because the Munafiqun are discussed quite extensively in many of the Madani surah. Surah Tawbah has a beautiful discussion of them, beautiful in wording, obviously very scary. And also, Surah Al-Ahzab has a very lovely discussion of the Munafiqun in relation to the Ahzab. All of the surahs that talk about battles will talk about the Munafiqun because of their treachery within the battles. But then suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels it worthy that they're given a whole surah. And this is because of the enormity of their evil. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with this. Very briefly, I think I put two themes, and I'll stick to those two themes. That the hypocrites come, they give all of this testimony, they bear witness somehow that you are the Prophet of God. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Allah knows you're a prophet, but that Allah also bears witness that they are lying. All of their claims, ittakhadhu imanuhum junna, which came up before. Their oaths are just shields for them. That's it. It's just a form of protection. It's a very weak form of protection. It has no real value. It's not a true. It's not a reality that they really accepted. When you either ra'aytahum tu'jibuka ajsamuhum, when you see them, you're in awe of their physicality. You think, oh wow, they're very powerful. They have a lot of clout. They have meetings with MPs and they do all of these things. These hypocrites have immense power. When you hear them speak, you realize their words are ultimately completely worthless. They are the enemy. You have to be wary of them. Qatalahum Allah. Qatalahum Allah. This is like a dua that's being made. Allah will destroy them ultimately. Anna yu'fakun. When they call to the Prophet, because remember the denial of the Jews and the hypocrites, who are the greatest enemies of Islam, at least in the Quran. And this, we're talking Quranic language. I don't want people, oh no, this is anti-Semitism. It's not. This is the Quran saying that throughout the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest enemies of Islam were the Jews and the hypocrites. And that is a reality that the Quran is presenting. And what is it also saying is that their great denial is the denial of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they are asked to make tawbah to the Prophet, they come. They don't want to come. They're in a state of arrogance and they're completely resisting this idea that they should come. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites, that they said they were going to kick the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Medina, na'udhu billah. But ultimately, honor belongs to Allah and the Prophet, and the hypocrites have no clue. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not be distracted. Do not be distracted by your wealth and your children from the dhikr of Allah. Why? Because this is the hypocrites. It was their wealth and their children that ultimately distracted them and gave them the impetus to go and do their acts of hypocrisy for the sake of their children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is, look how at the end you have, in the act of saving your children, you've done nothing but damn them. Because now they're also in misguidance, apart from the son, obviously Sayyidina, the son of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. I think his name is also Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, was a noble companion and is now our master. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the cure to all of this? Give in charity before the day comes. And you say, oh Allah, delay, delay, give me more time. I'll give all the charities too late. وَلَنْ يُؤْخِرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not delay once the time has come. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is all aware of everything that you do. This brings us to the final three surahs. Surah Taghabun, Surah Talaq, and Surah Tahrim. Okay, Taghabun we'll go through, Talaq we'll just gloss over, and Tahrim we'll read, and then we'll finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Taghabun, which is a surah that is discussing the Day of Judgment, this idea of profit and loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything in creation glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For him is all power, for him is all dominion, for him is all praise. He created you. Again, this idea of alliances. He created you from minkum kafir wa minkum mu'min. Some of you are believers, some of you are disbelievers. That's the nature of creation. We have to, as believers, internalize this fact. There's no grey area. There's no middle ground. There's mudarat and there's fiqh and there's way to deal with people, but ultimately there's believers and disbelievers. And he created all of these incredible things and he knows everything. He knows what you hide and what you present. He remember the people who came before and the punishment that they faced. And they denied the fact that they're a man, a bashar. I use this translation of bashar at the moment. I call them skin people because it's bashar just means skin. And so they're saying that these are people who have skin just like me. What is it that gives them this value that they should be prophets of God? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that believe in Allah, believe in the Prophet, believe in the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, the books and the Quran and the revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ultimately fully aware of everything you do. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ. There's a day. يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ. Where you'll be gathered. ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنِ. This is the day of profit and loss. This is the day of the accounts. This is the day where everything will be settled. Everything you did on that day, or everything you did preceding that day, you will be held to account for. The accountant is Allah. The clerks are the angels. There's no escaping this. It's a very, very devastating, very, very scary situation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thabat and ease on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do good, those who believe in Allah, who do good actions, all of their good, bad deeds will be wiped out. They'll be entered into the garden. They will stay therein forever. And those who don't, those who have rejected, who disbelieve and reject the signs, they will enter the fire. They will remain therein forever. What a horrible place to go. Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi-idhnillah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on talking about His power, His magnificence. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, hypocrisy. What is it? Be wary of your wives and your children. That some of them are, they're not out for your best interests, but you have to try and be forgiving and bring them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama amwalukum awladukum fitna. Your wealth and your children, they're just a fitna, they're a tribulation. Whatever is with Allah is better. Give the qard, give in charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about hypocrisy, the anti-hypocrite is always the one who gives charity. The hypocrite doesn't like to give charity. The anti-hypocrite is always giving to Allah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our next surah is Surah At-Talaq. We will not spend a lot of time on this because this is very much Surah of fiqh, and we're not going to discuss the fiqh, so people can go and read the surah and maybe look at the tafsir if they want to understand certain things. But there is a discussion, a very lengthy discussion, about divorce, about iddah, about the terms of divorce and what a person should give, and the ma'roof and the clothing and all of these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. But he's saying that you have to have taqwa. This is the very important thing. You have to, one of the constant themes of the surah, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in all of your dealings with your spouses and in all of the messiness of divorce and all of these things, always be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, yeah, this is just to be wary of God subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be wary of the Prophet, his signs, to recognize that he's trying to take us from the darkness into the light, and that at the end there's just this sort of really much settling of the hierarchy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, and that he has to be recognized as such, and that is why, and all of his commands have to be upheld. And then our final reading of Surah At-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is in relation to a very specific incident where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by virtue of some of the actions of his wives, عليهن السلام ورضي الله تعالى عنهن, the noble wives, our mothers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made certain things haram on himself, a sweet dish. There's an account, there's a story of it between some rivalry between some of the wives, as is human nature. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this should not be done, and that you should be. And there's a sort of telling off of the wives that happens, and they're told they have to make tawbah, and they obviously all made tawbah, and their tawbah. It's not like the tawbah of us, where we come with all of our sins and we're disgusting, decrepit individuals. This is the tawbah of the greats. This is the tawbah of the most noble of people. Radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to always be venerating the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to always venerate the symbols of Islam, to never fall into in spite of all of our sins. Whatever sins Allah gives us, we ask that He not give us disgust and disrespect, a'udhu billah, not to give us disrespect and denigration of the symbols of Islam. Because that's the ultimate loss. As soon as you do that, your deen is gone. There's no point being a Muslim at that point. Your deen will be taken from your heart. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the awe and the magnificence of the symbols of His symbols in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the wives. Then the last two pages in the 13-line Taj Company Quran, there's a Sheikh Ismail Ibrahim has done a very good video. I haven't seen it, but I hear good things about the differences between the two Qurans, so people can check it online. O you who believe, save yourselves. There's these commands that are given to us. Save yourselves and your families from the fire. Its fuel is people and stones. There are these very stern angels there. They don't disobey Allah. They're going to do whatever they have to do. There's no excuses on that day. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe He'll forgive all your sins and enter you into the garden of paradise. A day in which Allah will not disgrace His Prophet and those who are around Him. And there's the light. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes by saying that, O Prophet, fight the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Be very stirred with them. Their final abode is the fire of hell. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of four women. These are darab Allahu mathala. Anytime Allah says darab Allahu mathala, it means, read this, take it as an example, try to follow the path if it's goodness and try to avoid it if it's a path of evil. Who are these women? The four women, number one is the wife of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, who was married to a noble prophet but ultimately disobeyed Allah, was treacherous and entered the fire of hell. And the wife of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, who again was treacherous to her husband and entered the fire. These are women who had the most amazing of opportunities and literally just dropped the ball. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and also, but Allah then strikes the similitude of the believing woman. Who is the believing woman? The wife of Pharaoh, who grows up in the house of the Pharaoh. And ultimately, she stands firm. She knows that she has to back Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. She has to stand for Islam. And she is entered into the garden. She'll be married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then she makes this dua that, oh Allah, give me a house in paradise and save me from the Pharaoh and his actions and save me from this evil people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua. The second one is Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, the wife of Imran, a'udhu billah, the daughter of Imran, the one who protected herself and who protected her chastity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her the gift of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Both of these women brought up prophets. Either Musa or Isa alayhi salatu wasalam grew up in the house of Asiya and the house of Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam, Sayyida Asiya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes by talking about the greatness of Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam. And so it brings us to an end. Half an hour. I don't know if I've put a verse. Have I put a verse? I'm hoping I haven't. Of course I have. Okay, the verse. We'll look at this very briefly. This is the verse of Surah Al-Tahrim. O you who believe, save yourselves and your children from the fire. You have to save, your families, your spouses, really. This is what it's referring to. They say, why are the children not mentioned? Because to save yourself is to save your children. That's the key. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. And the fuel of this fire is going to be humans and stone. It's very difficult. We live in an age where people don't want to talk about the truth of the religion. They find it too harsh. This is the reality. There is a fire and it burns and it crackles and it's very scary. And ultimately, the people, human beings and stone will be its fuel. Who is there? They are angels. غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. Very stern, very formidable, very terrifying. They will not disobey Allah. So ultimately, this is the guidance of the age we live in. Our job is to save ourselves and our families. We don't have to save all of humanity. We don't have to save the universe. We're not superheroes. We're just everyday heroes. We're family heroes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do everything you can to save your family and yourselves from the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save ourselves and our families on these noble days of Ramadan from the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for salam and afiyah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.